Thank you, ladies, girls. Hey, good morning, everyone.
Morning.
You know, sometimes we can have things in our future, like the near future, scheduled or events or having to meet certain people or meetings or upcoming surgeries. And it can be a very unnerving time. And I think we should believe God together and pray. This morning in the West, we prayed for a young mother who is giving one of her kidneys to a stranger, actually. And so she's leaving after the service for Baltimore, and she found that God spoke to her and said, give one of your kidneys for your neighbor. It was literally a person down the street that she heard about and found that she was compatible, so he's off to Baltimore. And talk about sacrifice. It's amazing. So we had a prayer for her, but there might be people here this morning who have particular needs in your life, upcoming surgeries. I know that perhaps, Danny, I think if you're here, I know you have one coming up, and we want to believe God for you. Others that maybe can just raise a hand and say, hey, I've got something coming up here. Maybe you have to go to the doctor or something that is causing anxiety, and you just want the peace of God. Anybody else? Okay. So if you're here, would you do me a favor? Would you allow us to pray for you? So would you just come on up here and just stand across the front? Tina, would you join us? And Pastor Leon, would you come if you can? And I don't know who else is here, Mary and whoever, some of the other ministers are here. But we just want to pray for you real quick. Is that all right? I won't preach long, so don't get nervous. You'll be done early today, I promise. My message, because some of you are sitting there because you're so well-churched, you're like, dog, he didn't even preach yet. We're in trouble. So don't get nervous. Come on up here. Come on up here. Really, come on up here. We want to pray for you. Amen. Come on up. Just stand along the line. Hi, guys. How are you? We're believing God for you. Yeah, this is a moment that can be very anxious, can it? It can be very anxious. And so, congregation, you didn't even know these people were sitting here with this on their heart. Think about it. They came to church to worship, but they have this in their heart. And we should just pray for them and believe God for a lifting, a peace of God. Amen? Can we do that? All right, if you guys can just kind of do one, like line by line so we can come right down and pray for you. Yeah. I didn't know there were so many people here with this issue. And wow, I'm like blown away. So we're just going to bless you and pray for you. You guys want to start on that end? I'll start on this end. Okay. And congregation, would you pray with us? Okay. Let's do that. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we know that God, you are the healer. You are the God that leads us through the difficult times. We're not nervous, but we're reliant upon you. So I pray for my brothers and sisters, and I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, for a real peace to just overflow right now. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you that there is no difficulty that is too hard for you. You said nothing is too difficult for the Lord. So we're believing, God, no matter what the challenge, that God, we can stand in faith and believe. So I just pray in agreement right now for the peace of God to come, Lord. Come right now, Father. Come right now, Father. Heavenly Father, we thank you. The God of peace shall guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Oh, Lord. We welcome the peace of God into this place, into the hearts of those that are standing before us, Father, because there is this impending thing that they have to do. Lord, their hearts are feeling it. They're sensing it today, God, because there is, Lord Jesus, only one place to be able to hold on to, and that's you. You're the anchor of our soul. God, let the peace of God, Father, that passes the understanding of man, guard hearts and minds in Christ Jesus right now. We thank you that, Lord, surgeons belong to you. Nurses and attendants belong to you. Father, every procedure you've given the wisdom and knowledge that came from above. So now, Lord, flawlessly, this surgery shall come forth. And on the other side, we'll give God the glory. Hallelujah. Because you are a faithful God. You are a God that never fails us. You are a God that will never walk out on us. So Jesus, let the peace of God just well up right now. Thank you, Lord. Church, would you agree with me? Come on. Thank you, Lord. We just bless these. We just pray for these today, God, that no matter what they're going through, we know they're going to go through. And they'll be on the other side victorious. Thank you, Lord. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, We will fear no evil, for you are with us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We agree now, God. And we thank you, Lord, that there is, Lord Jesus, only one God, one way, the path of righteousness, Lord, that we stand in faith with right now, Lord. We stand in faith right now, Lord. We stand in faith right now, Lord. And we believe, God, that you are able, Jesus. Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. So everybody with me, would you just lift your hands up, close your eyes, and just begin to worship our great physician. Come on. He is the God that gives life. So speak life right now. We speak life over every person. We believe you're the healer. We believe that you are the God that makes things, oh God, all right. So we just worship you today. We bless you today. We honor you today, and we believe for miracles, God. We ask, Lord God, for your hand of mercy now, your hand of mercy in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Oh, amen and amen, amen. We believe with all of you. We believe, amen. You can go back to your seats. We believe, amen, we believe. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, how'd you like that video? Moms, those moms, those were like together moms, weren't they? I just want you to know I picked that video. Took me 2 hours to find that video. There's some of the most lame Mother's Day stuff on the internet that you could possibly find. And when I saw that one, I went, whoo, this girl's on fire. I said, that's the one we're going to use. Because that's my mama. She's on fire. She raised them babies, does all they do. Spit rag, check. Diaper bag, check. Those Jordans, no, those are Elmos. I mean, that was just, it was incredible. I just laughed and laughed and laughed. I said, I can't hardly wait to show you. And I told you Wednesday night it was going to be good. Happy Mom's Day. I've got a message, and I'm not going to keep you long. I did promise you that already. I will keep my promise. I just want to say thanks for coming. You know, there's a lot of people that are graduating right now, and we're excited for you. Is there anyone here today that has just graduated from college or maybe your graduate work or you're present today? Anybody? Just wave at me if you are. Anyone that's graduated or right there? One hand? Did you just graduate? No? You're waving. You're saying hello to someone else. Okay. No graduate. Don't move because I'll call on you. If you go like this, I'll say, yes, stand up. Okay, I just wanted to make certain because I know Rebecca Gibson graduated yesterday. She's excited. I don't think she's here. Huh? She's in the nursery. Isn't that a good place for a college graduate? But nonetheless, how about visiting? Do we have any family members visiting moms from out of town? And you're like, I'm here to visit my mom. Anybody? Anybody? Yeah, you're right. Okay. Where are you from?
Tennessee.
Welcome. Nice to have you here. All right, great to have you here from Tennessee. Anybody else visiting, coming up for the Mother's Day weekend? Anyone? No? We had some folks in the first service from Las Vegas, Nevada, California, I don't know where else. And I said, look, the Church of Life is worth the drive, so we'd love to see you next week. It'd be great to have you. Hey, I want you to open up your Bible. We're going to go to the book of Samuel, actually the 1 Samuel, chapter 25. And I want to tell you a little bit of a story. It's concerning Abigail and Nabal. Now, Nabal was the husband. Abigail was his wife. And this is the account of what took place when David and his army, if you will, about 600 people, were guarding his livestock for a number of years from all kinds of ransacking and marauding and enemies that would try to steal them. And David and his men would protect them. So one day David said, you know, my provisions are low. Go to the house of Nabal and ask him for some provisions. Well, Nabal just dogged him out, basically said, look, you are a fool and I am not about to give you anything. Well, David got angry and he got his men together and said, get your swords. We're going after the house of Nabal. He's not going to treat me like that. So en route to come against Nabal and his household, Abigail raises up and she becomes the woman of the hour. And that's my focus today. How to deal with foolishness when it comes to your house. All right, that's the title. And I believe it's an appropriate title for Mother's Day. Now look, I met with someone yesterday morning. We were having breakfast and the waitress that walked by, she wasn't waiting on us, but the individual knew that person. And she began to talk about her job. She worked there at this restaurant and she had two other jobs. She worked at a factory and she also worked at a different restaurant. She said, I work 6 days a week, sometimes 14, 16 hours a day. I only get Thursdays off. And I thought, now that is a mother. A mother doing what she has to do to raise up her family. And I think we need to celebrate right now, guys, everybody that is in this place that's not a woman, because if you're a woman then you didn't have children, you probably will be. So I think we need to salute them. Come on, a hand clap for all the moms. Yeah. Woo! Good job. Wow. Absolutely. Well, there's verse 17. I give you a little bit of the backstory. Now therefore know and consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master, against all his household, for he is such a scoundrel that no one can speak to him. That was speaking of Nabal. And Abigail, verse 18, then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of bread and all these provisions, the scripture says, and she took off to intercept David as he was coming against the household. She said, there's no possible way I'm going to sit back and just allow this crisis to go unchecked. That's the beauty of motherhood. That's the power of motherhood. And you know, this message today, in the next few minutes, is really a call to your empowerment and a commissioning to your anointing as a woman and as a mother that understands that you have what it takes to have victory in your house on every dimension. You know, I was looking around the web and I found that 6 most trusted characteristics of a mother are the following. It says, first of all, the number one was love. When people were asked, what is it about moms? He said, the first thing I think about is love. And they were talking about it and they said, empathy is number 2. Number 3, patience. Number 4, creativity. Number 5, strength. And number 6, humor. But perhaps the greatest characteristic of any mother is they take action when their household is under threat. Let me tell you 2 true stories. Number 1, you probably heard it before, where a woman heard that their son or daughter was underneath the car and they came running out there and lifted up the car, 3,800 pounds with one arm, right? And called 911 with the other hand. No, it's not true. Not verified. But here is the truth of that story. A son was working under a car and of course it fell off the jack and pinned his chest between the ground and the springs of that car, the underframing. The mother did run out and lifted it 2 inches, enough to relieve the pressure on his chest until the paramedics could come and rescue him, kept him alive. You think, how can a woman lift 2 inches, 3,800 pounds off of her son? It's an amazing thing what mothers can do. You know, mothers kind of transform when there's a threat to their children and to their household. And I want to expand your thinking a little bit, because ladies, you've been empowered by God so that you will stand for righteousness and never have to put up with foolishness in your house. Here's another true story up in Alaska. I don't know why people live there, but nonetheless, Alaska. A mother was looking out through the window. Her 2 sons were playing hockey in the backyard, when all of a sudden she spotted a 700-pound polar bear making haste toward her 2 children. She knew that they were under threat. She put down the dish rag and out she went the back door to save her children. Now, mind you, she's 5'3", about 92 pounds. She yelled and screamed, "Get away, get away, leave my children alone." She stood between that polar bear advancing and her 2 children when she finally decided to attack. Yes, you heard me right. She attacked the polar bear. She put her arms around its neck, wrapped her legs up around it, and started screaming, "You're not going to kill my children. I'm going to kill you." True story. She kept wrestling this polar bear. The children were screaming frantically. The neighbor hears about it. The bear starts to maul her. She didn't let go because she wasn't about to allow that 700-pound polar bear to get to her children. When all the commotion raised to a fever, the neighbor comes out with a gun and kaboom, kills the polar bear. She gets up, struts around, and said, "I told you, not on my watch." True story. Now, I don't know how many guys in here would run to a 700-pound polar bear coming at your children. I probably would have said, "Father, thank you for bringing those children into my life. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away." I love my kids, but I don't think I'm brave enough to grab hold of the neck of a 700-pound polar bear. Are you kidding me? But that's the difference between a mother and a man. Mothers don't think about 90 pounds. Mothers don't think about 700 pounds. Mothers only think of one thing: not on my watch. And you don't want to get between them and their children. That's what happened with Abigail. Let's get back to this story, because there are some principles that I want to extract that I believe are going to help you in dealing with some of the foolishness that begins to rise up in your home. We're going to extract from Abigail's life how a godly woman takes action. Even though her household is in jeopardy, she doesn't quit. She doesn't give up. In verse 18, the story tells us that Abigail made haste and took provisions. It's interesting about a mom: when there's crises, they don't have a meeting. They don't debate it. They don't call their girlfriend and say, "There's a 700-pound polar bear out there. Do you think I should choke it?" They don't get anybody else's ideas or thoughts. All they know is one thing: I'm going to attack what's trying to attack me. There's this wherewithal inside of a woman when they give birth to babies that somehow makes them into these wonder women. You know, I just don't know about you, but the Bible tells us that Nabal was married to a wonder woman. Verse 10 says, "Nabal answered David's servants and said, 'Who's David and who's the son of Jesse?'" Yeah, this was foolishness talking. Oh, by the way, Nabal's name means foolish one. Now, ladies, I'm not suggesting you're married to a fool, but when foolishness... Well, she was, please. She was married to Nabal, whose name means fool. Now, how would you like to introduce your husband to all your friends? "Hi, this is a fool that I'm married to right here." But we're just going to use his name as an illustration that when foolishness rises up and does something stupid, women of God don't stand around and allow foolishness to take over. They draw the line in the sand and they say, "I don't care if you're 700 pounds or you're 3,800 pounds. There's no way that I'm going to allow you to encroach upon my territory. This is my house." See, if you can begin to get that in your spirit this morning as a mother, that this is my house, something will come up inside of you that will empower you to do amazing feats. So Nabal is dogging David. He said, "I'm going to take my bread, I'm going to take my water, I'm going to take my meat and give it to him." So David's young men turned on their heels and they went back and came and told David. And David said, "All right, fine. After I've been protecting his herds and his sheep, I've saved him so much and he won't even give us a little provision. Get your swords. We're going to his house and we're going to take matters into our own hands." Of course, at this time now, a servant came to Abigail and said, "David's men are about to come to your house. David's men are about to take everybody out." And immediately Abigail went into action. The first thing she did is heard there was a threat. The next thing she did was take action and face it head on. Moms, I want to encourage you that when foolishness rises up in your house, it might be immature and it might be a toddler, but you leave it long enough and it'll grow up into adolescence. And when you try to tell it to sit down, it'll look at you and command you to sit down. You've got to learn to take care of foolishness when it rises up. So a godly woman will always take action and never delay. Didn't wait for a committee. didn't ask the girls at the next coffee clutch or the next Bible study what she should do. Didn't need to get counseling from the preacher. She knew that it was her responsibility to take matters into her own hands. Notice, she didn't worry. She didn't fret. She engaged her resources to address the problem. She began to get all of the figs and the sheep and all the provisions together. And let me say this too, that no matter what's facing you as a mother, God has put something inside of you that, just like Abigail, she had everything she needed on the shelves of her own house. You don't have to look from the outside to get the help. God's already equipped you. If you birthed him, you can raise him. If you birthed her, you can bring her into maturity in the things of God. Because God would not give you that great gift of a child if he did not equip you to protect that child from foolishness. Come on. Now, some of us, we're going to have to take some action. We're going to have to make a phone call after church and say, I've heard a sermon. I put up with foolishness long enough. And we're about to have some changes up in here. Come on now. We're about to have some changes. Mom, what got into you? I went to church this morning and I found out I don't have to put up with your foolishness any longer. I'm going to tell you that right now. So she went directly. And there is an equipping in your lives. Something about mothers that I admire. It's amazing the resourcefulness that you have. Amazing about the creativity and the humor, how you can employ it to diffuse hostile situations. How you can make a boo-boo feel better. How you can make a broken heart feel mended. How you can make hopelessness turn to great faith and expectation on the next day. A mother has an amazing gifting. And ladies, don't think that you're under-gifted. Because there's not one woman in here today that's a mother that has not been fully equipped to do everything necessary to bring her children into the mature state of God's expectation. You're going to raise those children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. 1 Samuel 25 and 23 says this, she bowed down to the ground before David. So she takes off with all this provision. Notice what her attitude was. Her attitude, she didn't shake her head and smack her lips. She didn't tell the people what they ought to say and what they ought to be thinking. She came to David and she bowed down before him. She humbled herself. There's something about humility with a woman on a mission that's not arrogant or prideful or demanding, but they know who they are in God. And they know that God will provide for them everything necessary to accomplish this thing called raising children, protecting her house. Abigail comes to David and bows before him. Suddenly now she has David's attention. Oh, by the way, everybody in this region knew David was the next king. Abigail knew it. Nabal's servants knew it. David's men knew it. There was only one that didn't, and that was foolish. His name was Nabal. Foolishness never understands the power and the presence of a living God. But those that know their God shall do great exploits to him. It doesn't matter what it looks like, 700 pounds or not. I know who I am. And I am persuaded that he is able. So you don't want to mess with this mama bear. You know what I'm talking about? Come on, mama. You know what I'm talking about. You understand that God be for you? Well, that was pretty good for a Presbyterian church. If God be for you, that Syrophoenician woman, she came to Jesus. She was a heathen, a Canaanite. Her daughter was demon-possessed. Said, Jesus, why don't you heal my daughter? He said, woman, I don't come to minister to you. I come to the house of Israel. She said, wait a minute. Even dogs can lick up crumbs from the table. And Jesus said, that's pretty good. But I'm still not going to do it. She fell down on her feet. Off of her feet, on her knees. She began to worship him. She began to bow. She began to humble herself. And suddenly Jesus said, woman, go your way. Your daughter is made whole. And then he tells everybody else, I've not seen such great faith in all of Israel. Why? Because she acknowledged who he was. And she humbled herself. before him. That's exactly what Abigail did. Abigail understood that this wasn't some marauding outlaw. This was David, the next anointed king of Israel, whose heart was after the very heart of God. She related properly to him. It was like knowing who Jesus is in your life and realizing that you will honor him in everything that you do. And when you humble yourself, you get God's attention. It's sort of like that woman with her arms wrapped around the neck of the polar bear. Suddenly you got the attention of the one who could take it out. Moms, you got God's attention. Moms, God's looking. You've got his attention. Why? Because you've recognized who he is and you've humbled yourself before him. Abigail teaches us some principles that we would do well to employ here today. You see, God resists the proud, but he gives what? Grace to the humble. In 1 Samuel 25 and 24, she fell at his feet. She said, "Oh, on me, my Lord, on me let this iniquity be." You know, that blows me away. She's saying, "Look, I know I'm married to a fool. I know that he doesn't understand. So just put it on me. I accept responsibility for what's going on in this house. Put it on me, God." Now, I don't know about Abigail, but I'm kind of like, okay, why would you say that? Why don't you point the finger and say, this man that God gave me is causing all the problems. I'm just trying to fix this thing. But notice what she did. It's a complete reversal of the generation in which we live. Everybody's blaming somebody today. Come on, the older people are blaming the young people. Women are blaming men, men are blaming women. Come on, the White House is blaming your house, and your house is blaming the White House. Come on, everybody has got to point at somebody else for the reason and for the responsibility for the mess that we're in. But not Abigail, and not a mother who's anointed of God. Not only does she recognize who he is and humble herself, she takes on the responsibility for the mess that they're in. There's something that God can't do, and that's resist humility and when you repent and fully accept responsibility. It's sort of like coming to God before America and saying, "God, we accept responsibility for such a fractured nation, for such a godless nation." And God said, "That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for people who will accept responsibility. Please, Lord, regard this scoundrel." She called her husband a scoundrel. "Please, Lord, don't regard this scoundrel. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, do not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives," is verse 26. "As the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself from your own hand, now then let your enemies and those seek harm for my Lord be as Nabal." In other words, she said, "Look, I'm ready to do some self-sacrificial living here." When I thought about Tracy and her decision to give up one of her kidneys for persons that's not even in her family, I can imagine the objections of the family members. Her husband, "Sweetheart, you don't have to do this. God would never expect that for you to do that. This is not something that you have to do." And Tracy said, "I know, but it's something I must do." There's something about self-sacrificial living that catches the attention of God. She takes on the responsibility for the iniquity of her husband. She's ready to sacrifice her very life before this King David. She goes on to tell him that, "I'm going to present myself to you. Please forgive the trespass of my husband." Then says, "The reason why I came, because your purposes are higher and more nobler than what you're about to do." In other words, had Abigail not intervened, David would have made the biggest error of his life. Now, I just want you to think of that for a moment, because if you put up with foolishness because you think that's the way kids are today, or you put up with foolishness that's somehow encroaching upon your home because that's how families are today, understand the greater and bigger picture. Because now we're beginning to see that Abigail understood that David could not shed blood over Nabal because he was called to a higher and greater purpose. Sometimes your intervention, while difficult at the moment, to tell your child no, or that's not what we do in this house. You know how mom said, if all your friends jump in the lake, you're going to jump in there with them, right? You understand that you have to put your foot down and realize that this house is a God's house. And the reason for that is not because you're trying to uphold some standard and you need to do that. But there's a higher cause. That is that there is a Christ whom we love and whom we serve. And we will keep him in his place of royalty and worship and adoration. And we won't bring him down to anything less. And Abigail was willing to take that chance, ladies and gentlemen. And David honored her. David honored her, and it's an incredible story of how it all plays out. But mothers personify Jesus in so many ways. Isaiah 53 says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. It's an amazing story of mothers who are willing to sacrifice their life for the life of their children. The untold stories of heroes, the untold stories of women who don't back down. See, when you're striving to protect other people, no matter what the scenario is, you got to be willing to shoulder the burdens that other people cause. Let me say that one more time. When you're striving to protect other people, their integrity, their personality, their future, you've got to be willing to shoulder the burdens that they caused. This whole scenario for Abigail wouldn't have been happening if Nabal would have had any sense. And sometimes that's how life is, isn't it? We wake up in the morning and somebody says something, does something, makes a decision that changes all our lives. You didn't consult me. You didn't ask me about it. You chose to do it. And now I'm dealing with your mess. Abigail didn't become embittered. Abigail didn't regret. Abigail didn't become angry. Abigail took the bull by the horns and was willing to shoulder the burdens of a poor choice of someone else. That's really what Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, bearing the burdens of others. So when we strive to protect other people, sometimes you can't tell the whole story. There have been times in my life in ministry where I've had to correct or change or do something behind the scenes, and there's a public statement made. And people will say, well, what really happened? And I say, it's none of your business. Why? Because I'm willing to shoulder the responsibility of the burden of the decision and the choice that person made so that they have a future and that they have a hope. So you can maybe make me suspect as to whether or not I did something wrong. But it's all right. Because I'm willing to bear the shoulder of that responsibility so that you can be successful in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? A mother doesn't necessarily punish her children for dumb. You've all been there. I've had my kids over the years. I'm thinking, what were you thinking? Why did you do that? And they look at you like young new cap at a new gate. I don't know. So that's the problem. You weren't thinking. But an Abigail spirit doesn't point the finger at the thoughtlessness of a choice and a decision. It's sort of the old adage, you don't cry over spilled milk. You get the dish rag and you wipe it up. you shoulder the responsibility of the burdens of others who weren't thinking. Whether it's an untimely and unexpected pregnancy or whether it's a jail sentence, impending judge, court case, or maybe it's some other unlawful thing. We now know that I don't know why the polar bear is in my backyard and I don't really care. I don't know what my son did that he jacked the car up on an incline and didn't put a brick under the back tire. It's not time for me to go in there and lecture him while he's suffocating that where was the brick on the tire? Maybe we'll talk about that later, but right now, there's a bear in the yard. And you've come to the wrong house. See? So you've got to get that attitude. She stood in the gap. Here's what she says. Please forgive the trespass. Not of Nabal. Listen. First chapter 25, verse 28, if you can put it up. Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant. What did Abigail do? Other than marry a fool? She didn't do anything wrong, but she accepted the responsibility of the trespass. She said, please forgive me. What a great picture of an intercessor. What a great picture of a mother. What a great picture of somebody that'll sacrifice to shoulder the burdens of someone else's error. It is Christianity 101. She pointed out that her presence was the Lord's hand to work and to keep David from sinning. She reminded David he was called and created for nobler purposes. Listen, there are going to be times in your children's life that you have to ignore what they've done. You have to correct them and teach them, but you have to remind them of their nobler and higher purpose. You've got to point them to David. You've got to point them to the Christ. You've got to remind them that no sin is final when you go to the cross. That everything can be forgiven. And all things could be made new again. We're not here to punish. We're here to restore. We're here to lift up and point the way. Moms, I pray today that you will be empowered to act. The longer you delay, the worse things will become. A lot of times, I've been in ministry a few years and I remember with teenagers, I worked extensively for a number of years, and parents would come to me and say, you've got to do something with my teenager. Driving me crazy. Get him saved. Get him to the altar. Do something. I'm like, sweetheart, you couldn't do anything with them. What do you want me to do? Sometimes we think sending them to church through osmosis, they're going to get this glory all over them when they come home. You've got to change the sheets. When the sheets are soaked in foolishness, no church experience is going to change character. You've got to take hold of your house and realize that you have an Abigail spirit. As a matter of fact, right now, I would like to pray for every woman in this room. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Please stand. Every woman, whether you're a mom or not, doesn't matter. Every woman, stand please. Let me pray now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every woman in this place and in this house right now that there would be a commissioning, a special anointing, an Abigail anointing, a spirit upon them that they will take charge, that they will move forward, that they will fearlessly confront foolishness in and around their life and not allow themselves to be manipulated or blinded. I pray today, God, that you would empower them, that they would understand and recognize the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to do the work of nurturing, raising up and building. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that they would forsake all argument and they would embrace activation. I pray, God, that there would be a release of words of faith. I pray, God, that there would be a release of stands for righteousness. I pray today, God, that there would be an example of a woman like Abigail who knew what to do in a time of crisis, and that is go to Jesus, humble ourselves, fall flat on our face, take responsibility for what's happening, and say, oh God, have mercy upon our home. I pray now, Father, that in this time, in this moment, in this day, on this Mother's Day, that the women of God of this house will be empowered and commissioned to do great exploits in God. Father, I pray that you would stir up words of knowledge and words of wisdom. Father, they would see into the backpacks of their children without having to pilfer naturally. That they would hear conversations on telephones without having to read texts. I pray, God, that they would move in the power of the Holy Spirit for a now word at a right time. And that they would walk, oh God, into moments of darkness. Moments, oh God, when the enemy is challenging, coming in. And like a flood, God, raise up a standard. I pray, God, that they would release their worship into the heavenly realm, that they would literally change the atmosphere of their home from the kitchen to the living room to the bedroom. I pray, God, when the child wakes up in the morning and their eyes focus, they'll hear the resounding glory of God's angelic beings welcomed into that atmosphere. I pray, God, that you would encourage and strengthen and uplift every mother that's become weary, battling together, battling alone, standing, oh God, and yet finding themselves pressed on every side. Now, Father, I pray for moms who have babies already in heaven. It's an unnatural thing. Some moms here never held those babies. Some of those babies were discharged from the womb. But God, you saw their substance formed, and they're going to welcome their mothers into glory one day. And I pray a special prayer even now for Mickey, who said goodbye to her 36-year-old daughter. I'll see you again real soon, honey. We pray for mothers today whose mothers gone before them, who aren't here to celebrate. But oh, one day, there will be a celebration. I pray now, Father, for those that have not yet birthed a child, that they would have a resolute heart to say, polar bear, car, doesn't matter. I will stand for my family and my children in righteousness. I pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody standing with me, please, as we get ready to close. One last thought. Someone said, the pain of childbirth. I would have thanked God for my two children that he gave me for the time that I had them when I saw the polar bear. I wouldn't have fought it. It's a true story. This woman actually fought this bear. And to give birth, here's the equivalent of the pain factor. I don't know it to be true, but this is what they said. Imagine 22 broken bones in your body simultaneously at a moment. And that's the pain level it takes to give birth for a woman. Now, those of you girls who haven't had babies yet, don't get nervous. They heal. That's incredible. That's incredible to me. So every day when I get up and I don't have to put on makeup, I don't have to do my hair. I don't have to do any of that stuff. I said, thank you, Jesus, I'm a man. Giving birth to our last child, Tina was in labor for like 22 hours. And I'm in there going, just breathe, honey. She looked at me like she was going to take my face off. Like, I don't know how you do that. Moms, you're amazing. I mean that. If it wasn't for moms in a church, you're amazing. Because it holds the fabric of the kingdom together in so many localities. Women of faith, Abigails. Woo! You're amazing. You're amazing. So let's take 120 seconds and worship our King. Would you like to do that? I want to do that. Let's thank Him. Let's thank Him. Come on, lift up our hands. Let's thank Him. Oh, we thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Come on, let's thank Him.
Holy, 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 holy is the Lord. Yeah, yeah. Holy is the Lord. We sing holy.
We're grateful today. If you're in this place this morning and maybe you need prayer, you're discouraged and you have something that you need an answer for, God will answer you. Maybe today you're not born again. If you were to die today, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell. Man, before you go out that way, why don't you come here and let us pray with you. Maybe you've known God and you know Him today, but you've been seduced by a world that has convinced you that life is better out there, and you know you need to come home and make a recommitment to Christ. Can we pray for you? That's really what we want to do. Maybe God's calling you to join our family. We'd love to have you. It's a great family. Great man. So altar ministers, would you come? And we're going to pray for everybody that wants prayer, and appreciate that so much. And don't forget Wednesday night coming up. I believe I'm preaching. I can't remember now. But be nice to see you. Could you cue up that Mother's Day video again? I liked it so much. I want to hear it again.